to it, our scripture reading for today, please stand as we read the scripture. It is taken out of John 3, 14 through 15. And I pray that you have your Bibles. First of all, while you're standing, I'd like to give honor to his son, his father, our Pastor Evans. Truly, truly a man called by God. My wife, my mom and dad, surprisingly, they're here. Sisters and brothers, deacons, friends, minister, God bless you. God bless you. Let's read the scripture. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A bad sermon is a long, false one. But a good sermon is one you just can't finish. And it seems like I can't finish this one. God our Father, may you be glorified and the hearts of your people be encouraged and edified. May God bless you this morning. May God touch your heart with his word. Praise the Lord. Midway in the three-year ministry of our Lord, he has this conversation with Nicodemus, a ruler of Israel. Jesus quotes Moses as Moses lifted up the serpent. This priest knew exactly who he was talking about. He knew who he was referring to. The prophets, including Moses, prophesied the coming of the Lord. Nicodemus was fully aware of all that had happened to Israel, even the wilderness event that actually happened. The wilderness event didn't happen, then our salvation is lost, even that event. God uses this event to bring his salvation to a dying world. Nicodemus didn't know how salvation and rebirth happened in the man who trusts and does it. What Jesus was really talking about. Jesus preached and prophesied his own death. But don't be hard on Nicodemus while he didn't get it. The mystery of salvation is hard for some of us to see. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me, just like Moses, Noah, Jonah. He uses these events for our learning. The scripture says this, the Old Testament, the Old Testament scriptures are for our learning, for our reproof, for our doctrine and correction and righteousness. It's for our learning. So this takes us to the event. It happens in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, 4 through 9. Numbers is the book of census. It starts by giving census. This is the accounts in the wilderness on those first that came out of Egypt. So there are more Israelites starting in the book of Numbers than it is at the end of Numbers, because they were part of the people were not getting it. They're starting out with 600,000 and ended up with less. They weren't getting it. So it's called the book of Numbers. I'm going to read 4 through 9. And they journey from Mount Horeb by the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. the soul of the people were discouraged because of the way they were where they were going. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of the land to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathed this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent out of bronze, which is remarkable because where did he get all this? Well, when they left, they had stuff. They had lots of stuff. They even, if you look in Leviticus and in Exodus, they made the tabernacle, gold and scarlet and red and gold and silver, and they had stuff, so they could make the Ark of the Covenant and make the tabernacle. So Moses made the serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he held the serpent up, if he beholds it, he lives. Over 600,000 people trying to avoid other nations. Not on going by the way of a plane, but by traveling difficult terrain around a mountain. So they complain. They complain about that. And so if life gets difficult, suppress. Don't say it, what you feel, because it always ends up bad for you. They started to complain about the bread was too light, although the bread in heaven had all the nutrients for you to live. The bread from heaven, it had everything they needed, and then they had water. They messed up and complained to God, complained about God and Moses, that even their soul hated the bread from heaven. Their soul. Now, you're stepping on borderline blasphemy. You're blaming God for what he has given. So they turn. So what God says, he sends fiery snakes. Something worse than venom and poison, but fiery snakes. This point right here is it's a war we're fighting. And this war, one of our weapons of war is the shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. Oh, if they had that shield that day, these fiery snakes most likely would not have bitten through their flesh. But that shield of faith quenches. It had spiritual water on it that was able to quench that fire and put that fire out. I thank God he didn't give us in that armor of God a hose or a bow and arrow, or things not those kind of tangible weapons, but are the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, the pulling down strongholds. It's mighty through the weapons of what we're doing this month is fasting and praying. That is a weapon from God, a powerful weapon of God. You're sitting here today. That's a weapon of God. The gathering of the saints, the prayer, the giving is all a part of your weapon. You're trusting in the Lord with the things that he's given us believers to walk by. So they went to Moses. Thank God now we can go to God with our troubles. Moses prayed for the people. Now that's a good leader. He doesn't try to analyze the problem. He just goes straight to God. When you take your problems to the pastor, you take your problems, he doesn't try to fix it. He just goes and now that's a good leader. Amen. So he says, Moses, make a goat and snake and fasten it on a pole. But why the serpent? Of course, what we see, this is a curse. This is a snake. It's a fiery snake. Most of the times when you see fire in the Word of God, you're seeing something that is not good. It's not going to be good for you. Galatians 3:15 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. God gives the sinner what he desires. A man is destroyed by his enemy, by God's enemy. Isaiah 54 says, God created the waster to destroy. Our fight is against spiritual wickedness. And if you lose, the serpent has you for lunch. For Satan is seeking whom he can devour. To be saved is to live. That's being saved, to live. The opposite is dying, death. The only way for these people to live was to look at this object that the man of God held up. That's why he sends the preacher to the world. He sends you to the world, to a dying world. How would they hear without a preacher? You're sent to a dying world. We are in the land, not the land of the living. This is the land of the dead. But we're going to the land of the living. That's where we're going. Amen? You have icons on your phone and on your tablet or your computer. An icon is the image that connects to the application. An icon is the company's logo. God's icon is Jesus on the cross. And that is, he was crucified, buried, and rose again. It is the preaching of the gospel. Not the garden, not Noah's Ark or Aaron's rod or Daniel in the lion's den or David and Goliath or all those point to Christ. But God uses the cross from the serpent on the pole, a symbol to live. With our eyes, we are able to give a visual description of any matter with our eyes. With the eyes, objects can be recognized, understood, and given its purpose and reason. But the scripture in Romans chapter 10:9 and 10, didn't say with the eyes salvation is made, but by the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But wait, the people in the desert had to physically see the bronze serpent in order to be saved. So Paul is saying, he's talking about seeing with the heart, with the mind, with the unseen body, the spirit of the man. That's why even physically blind can be saved by reading Braille. Hear the word of God, see the word of God, see the cross and be saved. You are made of mind, soul, and spirit. All three are your body you cannot see. You could lay down tonight, close your eyes, and actually vision what you create, what you can plan, what you can imagine. Even for the next day, you can see that is your mind. You can see it. The mind thinks and tells the unseen body, the soul, what it's going to do. Jesus tells Nicodemus, this is how rebirth happens. The man is given the seed of the word of God. The mind agrees with what it has seen or heard and gives that truth to its eyes of his soul. The soul needs to be saved. The believer's spirit is saved. His spirit is saved, but the soul needs to be saved. The spirit is willing, he says, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is fully furnished with Jesus, with righteousness. When he came to the earth by way of the virgin birth, he's full of where he lived. He had 12 disciples. He did miracles, walked on water, fed 5,000, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, raised the dead with the commandments, with the command, was falsely accused, sentenced to die, nailed to the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. And then God raised him from the dead. The mind and the soul, man, must live in that. He must change his mind to that and seeing that and agreeing to that and obeying that. That's the truth. That's the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:19 to 20 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, we beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. God has been working on man's salvation since the garden, drawing man to himself. He said to the serpent, you will bruise his heel and he will bruise your head. The bronze serpent was one of God's hugest steps towards salvation. Jesus didn't preach any other man would bear this cross. He didn't preach Confucius, Muhammad. He preached Jesus. He preached himself would do this, and he would be the anointed one, the Son of God. There are more proven evidence written in the Word that Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Angels said at his birth, his name would be called Jesus, the Son of God, to save men from their sins. The Father in heaven said, "It is his at his baptism, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus said again, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." John said, "I wrote these things that you may know that he is the Son of God." His enemies knew he was. And if you say that Jesus is the Son of God, then you are saved, he said. But his enemies knew that he was the Son of God. His enemies knew and said, Satan said, at the end of his 40-day fast, "If you are be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Yeah. Demons said, we know who you are. You are the Son of God. You're the Son of the Most High." Right. And the high priest said, "I assure you, are you the Son of God?" And each one of Paul's letters opens with the acknowledgement, God the Father and, comma, his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He volunteered to come and be as that serpent on Moses' staff. It is by the Holy Spirit that a man would believe the message and the message of the cross. If any man can believe God created heaven and earth, Noah and the flood, David and a giant, and so on, then he might as well go ahead and believe the gospel, that Jesus died. Did he do it? Did he hang? Then Paul says, hold on to your profession. Hold on to it. Grab hold on eternal life. Amen. But on the third day, praise God, he got up. So he's no longer on the cross, but the Spirit see him. He's there, but he's no longer on the cross because he rose again. My message to the church, keep your eyes on him. He says in Hebrews 12, 2, he is the author and finisher of our faith. And he knows how to please God. You follow the author. He knows how to please God. That's why we come. We learn. We are edified. We are grabbing hold of the word, reading every day, because God will be pleased with what we do. Amen. Tell someone else about God, about what he's done. We are ambassadors for Christ. Sent to a dying world. Amen. And put on the whole armor of God. We are focusing on the faith, the shield of faith. Hold on to that shield of faith, that it will quench every fiery dart of the evil one. Faith in the cross, faith in the death, faith in the burial and resurrection of Christ. Like I said, if they had faith, they wouldn't have died that day. They would have lived. So look to the cross. Amen. The message to the world and to those who are lost. Admit that you're a sinner. The only thing that God hears is that you are a sinner. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. Save us. Go to God in prayer. God is right. We're wrong." So that's the only thing. Why else would he hear you? Because he's right. He's right about everything. Amen. So when you go to him, like the scripture says, And John also says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. You can't say that you have no sin, but you better say that you are lost and you need a Savior. Yeah. Amen. That we sin. We have sinned and we come short. That's why it's in the prayer that he gave his disciples. One of the things that we do is ask God to forgive us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, we bless you, Lord, this day. We thank you for your word. Oh, Father God, what has been said has gone forth, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, for it. I pray these hearts and minds are mended to your word and to your will. Amen. One of the things that God is telling those who are lost as well to confess and agree that God is right. Because God is right. Amen. Amen.